Well, today is officially our final Sunday. Even though we have one more Sunday in April, today is officially our final Sunday in our April theme of honesty, because as it's been mentioned, we have a guest speaker next week, Bill Dietrich, and Bill will be doing his own thing. And because when Bill does his own thing, it's a very good thing, I trust that you will come and you will hear him and even participate in his workshop afterwards. But all this month, we have been looking at honesty from the inside out. We've been looking at self-honesty as essential if we want to live a full and fulfilling life. I mean, it's fundamental to self-discovery, and it's indispensable if we want to live a happy and peaceful inner life and express ourselves freely and fearlessly in the world. Still, you may be wondering, with all of the conflict and chaos and violence in the world right now, with all the name calling and blaming and finger pointing and weapons pointing at the highest levels of our government and other governments, why it is we're focusing on our individual honesty? I mean, why aren't we trying to fix the world before it goes kaboom, before it self-destructs or suffocates from pollution? I mean, today is also Earth Day, and it's not only a day to celebrate and appreciate our Earth, but it's a time to focus on how we can rehabilitate and rejuvenate a planet that supports our very life, no matter how we behave toward it or each other. Our focus on self-honesty is vital for this reason. We may demand honesty and transparency from the world governments, but until we demand it of ourselves, the world won't change. The Indian guru, beautiful spiritual teacher, Ramana Maharshi, said that your own self-realization is the greatest service that you can render to the world. In fact, the world would instantly change in every area, everywhere, if everyone who lives upon this planet were to realize who we truly are. Self-realization can only come through self-honesty. And it takes courage to be honest in a world that seems so full of fearful opposites and intimidating opposition, a world where conformity to no longer useful traditions, a world where acquiescence to the ideas of a powerful few is often enforced by laws, because fearful obedience is easy to control. It suppresses self-knowledge and obscures new thoughts. That's why happy non-compliance with tradition, peaceful self-reliance, and joyful uniqueness is not only devalued, but distrusted and viewed as dangerous and even as crazy and delusional. I mean, I swear to God, you'd have to be crazy to find joy and peace in a world that seems so full of unresolvable suffering and conflict. Nietzsche wrote, "The individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened. But no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself." But we can't own ourselves as long as we are giving ownership to anyone else. Whether we're still giving that ownership to our parents and the teachers who told us who we were way back when, to our mate, our friends, our co-workers in our social groups that tell us who we are now, or to our family and who they believe we should be for them. If we're living someone else's dream of who we should be, how can we take ownership of our own dream? The dream that lives in us, and access the power within us to create that dream right here on earth. In order to live in honesty rather than mimicry, it's vital that we discover what's authentically ours and not merely the influence of others. We may be one with each other, but we belong to the God of our creation that knows exactly what is authentically ours and has placed that truth, that knowledge, within each of us, and no one has access to it but we ourselves. In the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, it says that I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. How will we know the meaning of our life? How will we feel that love within us? And how will we express that kindness as us unless we make a conscious connection with the power that created us? And our conscious connection can only be made within ourselves, through our desire and our intention and our commitment to know ourselves and be ourselves, to trust what feels true within us, and then to live from that truth no matter what. Such authenticity gives us the courage to speak when we feel moved to speak, to do, when we feel moved to do, to go. Where we feel moved to go, to laugh as we feel moved, to laugh and to cry as we feel moved to cry. Only then can we discover a self to own. We waste so much of this earth time trying to please everybody else and please the world when we've already been pre-approved by God. Long before Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living," long, long before, The vital nature of self-knowledge was inscribed on the sacred temples of the mythical gods Apollo and Luxor in both Greece and Egypt, and they said the same thing. Man, know thyself, and you are going to know the gods. So, here's a few questions we might want to ask ourselves this morning. Do I trust what I might find within me? Do I believe that self-knowledge will lead me to heaven or to hell? Do I believe that within me I am one with God and all life? Or do I believe that within me I'm separate from God and everything else, or worse, that I'm actually connected to something else that's dark and sinful? Science of Mind tells us the only place that man contacts God is within. And the only life man has is from within. God is not external, but is indwelling at the very center of man's life. But we can't find that center of our life, let alone live from it, if we're always living on the surface of life. Wearing a mask of self-confidence to hide our fears. A face of faked emotions and a phony smile of agreement. We will always live two-faced as long as we believe our true face is unacceptable. Now, how often have we said, I swear to God, and saw it as a harmless expletive because we weren't about to do that thing that followed those words? And anyway, God doesn't pay attention to things like, I swear to God, if my neighbor doesn't stop playing that tuba so loud and so late, I'm going to steal it and sell it for scrap metal. I swear to God. If that politician doesn't shut his mouth or shut her mouth, I'm going to put a sock in it. I swear to God, if my husband, my mate, doesn't stop snoring, I'm going to shoot him. And we look and think of our swear to God fantasies as harmless. I mean, they're just in our head, right? But as we've been considering all this month, we have no private thoughts, and not one of our thoughts is secured in our head. All thoughts are living things, and they go forth into creation, and we can't stop that thought as long as we're thinking that thought. We're the power. We're the wind beneath the wings of our thinking. And it goes and goes until we change our thinking. Even if it's a fantasy we don't intend to follow through with, the emotional vibration of our thoughts affect us and everything else. All of our thoughts, all of them, emit a vibration that moves through us and affects our body, and it affects our experiences of life. Now, as I was reading about this particular expletive, I began to wonder why it is that we say, I swear to God, if we don't mean I swear to God to the God that's within me right now. And so I found what seemed to me a worthy explanation. It said such an oath is considered harmless only by those who are internal atheists. They believe God is not present to hear such an oath, so it will not harm them or their issues. And even if God exists, they see God as not related to them, but as being an outsider. But God is an insider. We cannot know God now or ever except within ourselves, our own consciousness, our own awareness. God is not external. God is indwelling and is at the very center of our life, even now. Right now, we have no other reality or life. There is no life separate from God. The beautiful mystic from India, Nirmala Srivastava, said that self-realization is the first encounter with reality. The gateway to knowing the reality of our being is self-realization. The gateway to self-realization is self-honesty. If we're living in fearful inauthenticity, nothing we do is safe or real or lasting. We imprison our soul with our limited thoughts, and our life reflects our self-imposed bondage. Whether it appears as dysfunction and pain in the body, whether it's disharmony and unhappiness in our relationships, whether it's lack and limitation in any area of our life, or whether it's just plain boredom with ourselves in life. Eckhart Tolle wrote, "Only the truth of who you are, if realized, will set you free." Our life, as we've been talking about, is the result of our self-contemplation. If we don't know who we truly are, if we don't know what feels real in us because we're not listening to our inner voice and we are overriding our intuition to please the world, then what self are we contemplating? And what self is creating our life? We alone create our tomorrows out of what we choose to live as truth today. If we choose inauthenticity right now, if we choose to imprison our soul right now, then we'll continue to experience bondage tomorrow in all the ways that we can be limited in this life. And as the world shows up to reflect the prison we've made for our soul, the way of mastery tells us it will be doing so only out of loving service to you. It's all good. So here's a few more questions we may want to ask ourselves. Where am I showing up? Wearing a mask of self-confidence because I'm afraid to look as if I don't know what the world is for. Where am I showing up wearing a smiling face of conformity when I don't agree with those around me, even my friends, and their opinions and judgments that are based on such negativity about others and life? Where am I saying okay when inwardly the answer is no? The place in which fear crops up for us is the very doorway to our greater God consciousness, to our self-realization. If there's something we're fearful of sharing with another, there's our doorway. And only we can walk through it as we walk through our fears. The way of mastery tells us, go. Share your truth for no other reason. Not to persuade, not to be right, but just to do the sharing so that you get through the fear. So the last question we might want to ask ourselves this morning is this. What am I willing to swear to God I will do? Because I know that the God within me is always listening. Who we're created to be is just beyond the doorway that fear seems to block. Only we have the key to that door. And that key is our honesty. Namaste.